Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and against a backdrop of concerns over NYPD conduct, an announcement this week from the city gives more power to the watchdog agency, which oversees police misconduct. So does this mean civilian complaints against the NYPD are going to be taken more seriously? Joining me now is Sean Gardner, crime reporter for The Wall Street Journal, to talk about a recent agreement that gives more authority to the Civilian Complaint Review Board. Hey, Sean, welcome back to WNYC.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Remind us what the CCRB is, who serves on it, and what role it has played up until now.
The Civilian Complaint Review Board is a board that is mostly appointed by the police commissioner and the mayor, and they investigate allegations in what's called FATO, four non-criminal complaints against police, either excessive police force, that's the F, abuse of authority, that's the A, discourtesy, and offensive language. And so what they had done in the past is if a cop was rude to you or, you know, swore at you or used a racial term against you, what you did is you would file a complaint with CCRB. They would investigate it, and if they substantiated your claim, they would then turn the case over to the NYPD lawyers, and they would determine if they would either dismiss the case altogether, if they would start negotiating with the officer for discipline, or if they would take, if it was serious enough, to take the officer to a departmental administrative trial. And then at the end of the day, what happens is if the judge comes back with a guilty in those trials, Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly has the authority to basically, give whatever discipline he wants to give.
So that's the whole thing on paper. What about in practice? Because obviously many people were dissatisfied with this system.
In practice, unfortunately, the CCRB has the rap of, you make the complaint and it goes into a black hole. And the CCRB historically has not had subpoena, they don't have subpoena powers, they still don't. They don't, they've historically been looked at as like a toothless, entity.
So there is a new agreement reached between the City Council, the NYPD, and the Mayor's Office. Here is City Council Speaker Christine Quinn commenting on the old system.
New Yorkers have complained that the very important Civilian Complaint Review Board is a toothless tiger. That they go there, they bring cases, they're substantiated by the CCRB, and then nothing happens.
So what's the new system, and is it no longer what she calls a toothless tiger?
Well, it's to be seen. I know that Chris Dunn from the NYACLU, when I talked with him about this first story I did for the Journal, he called it process reform, a step in the right direction, but process reform nevertheless, because although the CCRB will now get to prosecute its own cases. So typically, over the last 5 years, the CCRB has substantiated, on average, 137 cases a year, of one of those FATOs, and involving about 200 officers, because, some of them involve multiple officers in the same incident. So out of those 137 cases, they will now be able to prosecute them and, decide whether they should plead with the, start plea negotiations with the officers themselves, or else take the cases to trial. Now, the thought is that since CCRB is an independent body as opposed to being the NYPD's lawyers who have done this in the past, that this will result in more officers, getting more discipline and also having more departmental trials. But as this is where Chris Dunn said that it becomes process reform only, is that even if you do have more trials and even if you do recommend more discipline and the judges find more of these guys guilty and he recommends more discipline, it still comes back to what Police Commissioner Ray Kelly is going to, he has final say. So he could, you know, he could still put the kibosh on anything they you know, on any increase in discipline that comes out of the CCRB having this increased authority.
I guess that's an important point to emphasize, that Commissioner Kelly had the final say in the old system and he'll have the final say over any individual case of disciplinary action in the new system.
Right. But I'm told by one source who has, you know, a lot of knowledge of how this stuff works, is that in the majority of the cases, the commissioner goes along with the trial judge's findings. So if CCRB is taking, you know, more officers to trial and, you know, getting more guilty, you know, more guilties, then that should result in more officers getting disciplined than have in the past.
Tell me a little bit more of the history to make this more concrete in the real world, because if there are serious offenses allegedly committed by a police officer, the CCRB doesn't get them. The district attorneys get them. So are there any famous civilian complaint review board cases where it was really contentious and officers allegedly did something and they either did get disciplined by the department or they didn't?
Not the most famous police misconduct cases are always, you know, end up criminally charged, so the DAs handle those. The next step down, you know, for instance, after the Sean Bell officers were found not guilty, you know, were acquitted at trial, the next step down was then they faced serious departmental charges of failing to fire, you know, one officer, Guescard Isnora, failing to, you know, to fire his gun in the, you know, properly fire his gun. And so that was then handled by, you know, the NYPD's internal affairs. That investigation was handled by them and handed over to the NYPD lawyers. Those cases will still end up going through that same system. And then the CCRB has, you know, what are kind of more the run-of-the-mill insulting type complaints against police, which, you know, isn't to be taken lightly because there are a lot. I think there was 8,400 complaints last year. I could be wrong on that number. But, I mean, there's a lot of complaints that go through the CCRB. And, you know, one of the main complaints these days is the stop and frisk. So that would be kind of where the CCRB comes in, you know, the kind of the day-to-day complaints and the day-to-day, you know, accusations of misconduct. That's what they handle. And in a way that maybe, you know, that's more important because those are the, you know, the complaints that really tell you what the relationship is between the community and the police at any given time.
So I wonder about the context of this. The NYPD has been in the hot seat in recent months more than usually for a number of practices, and these include its stop and frisk policy that you just mentioned. Then there were the sometimes violent clashes with Occupy Wall Street protests. In January, we learned that the controversial film, The Third Jihad, which paints with a broad brush, has been used to train at least 1,489 police officers. The NYPD was also found to have collaborated with the CIA, though they deny it. That was reported by the AP, to spy on Muslim communities throughout the tri-state area. So how much is this change a reaction to those events?
I think what this mainly addresses would be the stop and frisk. You know, 684,000 people were stopped, questioned, and signed. About half of them were frisked last year. And that, you know, a record number. And I think that the CCRB would mainly handle complaints about stop and frisk, also complaints about OWS, Occupy Wall Street. A lot of those would be in there, too. As far as, you know, the allegations about the spying and the third jihad stuff, that really wouldn't, you know, come into play here. But certainly this could be seen, and many see it as, you know, a step towards kind of dealing with the stop and frisk complaints and the criticisms the police department receives about stop and frisk.
I guess I'm just wondering whether there's an affirmative attempt right now by Kelly to take some of the heat off himself and the department. We talked earlier in the week about the fact that the final disciplinary action against Officer Isnora in the Sean Bell case just happened to come at the same time as the Trayvon Martin shooting was in the news, even though that didn't directly involve police officers. There are certainly some parallels there. And so, speculated another reporter who covers the police, who was on earlier this week, isn't it interesting that at that very moment they chose to wrap up the Sean Bell case? And I wonder if there's just another, you know, if this is kind of part of a charm offensive by Kelly right now because he's feeling a lot of heat.
Right, but you know the strange thing about the release of the Asnora, termination was that they really didn't go to great lengths to make it be known that he was getting fired. They somehow it got leaked to a TV station, and it came out at 10 o'clock on Friday, and then everyone had to kind of scramble to get something in for the Saturday paper, which, if you know the business, the Saturday paper is the least read paper. You know, we have going.
Right. Governments always dump things that they want to get buried from
Friday night.
That's right.
And so that's what it was. To me, it seemed like that would, if I'm the police department and I'm looking for publicity saying, hey, look, we are doing something. We're not ignoring, the complaints about the relationships our officers may or may not have with the community. I would have used that as like, hey, I would have had a press conference and say we're firing him and we're firing him because, make a big deal, make it look like they're taking a proactive step. But see, I didn't see that as that way. I saw it as like, coming out late and, kind of being leaked out and everyone kind of scrambling to get it.
That they didn't want people talking about Sean Bell at the same time as Trayvon Martin.
Right.
All right. Sean Gardner covers the NYPD for the Wall Street Journal, Greater New York section. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and coming up next, it's not your grandfather's museum world anymore, or your grandmom's. James Pinero from the New Criterion joins us on the changing role of museums in society. What do you want, and what do you actually get when you enter today's museum gates? Stay with us.